Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing podcast on SweatNet. I am so thankful to have the opportunity to interview some incredible women, inspiring women. And today is a celebration because today is the 40th episode. And each woman that I interview and talk to, like every story is special and worth listening to and worth sharing with someone. So I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing. And please go on, whether it's on my Instagram, whether you go on the podcast page and comment or review, I would love it if you would just take a moment to do that and let us know, you know, how you're being impacted by these stories. But I can't wait to share who my guest is. But before we get into that, we got to talk about Strong Camp. Strong Camp Charlotte, which is put on by Strong Fitness Magazine, is happening here on May 22nd and 23rd. It is 2 days of workouts and seminars and really just like girl time, girl power. We're going to have so much fun, and it's for all ages and all levels. So you don't have to be at a certain fitness level to come out. Like, I just encourage you, come on, do what you can. This is a great opportunity to connect, and it's really a great opportunity to make new friends and just be there to encourage and inspire each other. So you don't want to miss this. Go to strongcamp.com to register now, or you can go to the link tree in my bio at It's Teal Smart, which is on Instagram. So I definitely want you to come for that. And that is 5 months before the big Be Amazing weekend, again, that's happening here in Charlotte on October 15th and 16th. Our title sponsor, Strong Fitness Magazine, partnered with Start to Finish. It's just going to be an incredible weekend. It's celebrating women. We've got events for everyone. So we have on Friday night, we're going to have the Be Amazing 5K Walk Run, which is going to benefit Girls on the Run. And then on Saturday, we're going to have the Miss Be Amazing Bikini Competition in the morning, and then the Be Amazing Showcase. And the showcase is a runway show. So you're going to get to come out and share your story, rock the runway, and just celebrate who you are. And this is our non-competitive part of the weekend. And then that night is the Be Amazing Gala celebration. We are going to all come together. We're going to celebrate each other. We're going to celebrate bringing women. And we've got a special event happening within that. Men in Bras Runway Show will be happening that night. And that's to benefit Carolina Breast Friends. So again, this is going to be an incredible weekend. I don't want you to miss it. You can go to at Be Amazing Weekend, which is our IG, and you can click on the link tree there and register, or you can go to beamazingweekend.com and register there now for an event, or just come and celebrate with us. It's just going to be amazing. Okay, so let's talk about my next guest. If you have ever done any online workouts, you probably have heard of Sydney Cummins. She's become a YouTube sensation, providing free online workouts every single day at 5 a.m. Sydney and her fiance, Dustin, have scaled this free online fitness page to a multifaceted fitness and nutrition conglomerate that includes everything from custom merchandise, nutritional products, and an online paid membership community, and a complete fitness media company. You're not going to want to miss this story of how a sweet small-town girl from West Virginia has repeatedly overcome adversity and turned it into her why of never forgetting to truly live each day. Sydney went to West Virginia University on a full academic and athletic scholarship for track and field. Having never lifted a weight prior to college, Sydney had no intentions of pursuing a career in fitness until a part-time personal training gig scratched an itch she didn't even know she had. As fitness has evolved and boutique gyms with expensive membership fees become the norm, Sydney made it her mission to make fitness available to everyone with no barriers. Listen in as we hear about her journey and how things kicked into high gear when adversity struck twice, and both times Sydney and Dustin pushed through with more tenacity than ever. Stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Sydney. Hi, Sydney. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Hello. Thank you. I know I'm excited to be here. Finally, I'm so pumped.
Me too. Like, we've known each other now, I think it's been, has it been 6 years, I think, maybe?
I feel like 2015 was when we met. Yeah. Okay. So I feel like it was within the first couple of years that I moved to Charlotte, probably at a boot camp at some point, but I think it was like the second year that I was here. So yeah, probably 6 years.
Yeah, it's so great. Time flies.
I know.
I was telling you earlier, like, it's been so fun to watch your journey and watch things unfold.
But what I want to do before we even like go right to that, tell everybody a little bit about who you are.
Okay. Well, my name's Sydney Cummings. As Seal said, I am a NASM certified personal trainer and fitness nutrition specialist here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Moved here in 2014 from West Virginia, where I was a high jumper for West Virginia University on a full track and field scholarship. So I'm very athletically based in my training approach, I guess you could say. Moved down here in Charlotte for what I thought would be a summer job in fitness. And long story short, I didn't go back to West Virginia. I was actually in nursing school going back for my second degree and lost my job at a nonprofit where I was trying to put myself through nursing school. So I thought I would come down to Charlotte, make some money as a personal trainer over the summer. And then as you could probably tell, I didn't go back to nursing school and just fell in love with fitness. And not knowing anyone in the city, I just kind of made it my mission to connect and meet as many people as possible and offer fitness to anyone that would let me train them in any way that I could get into a gym or someone's house or into a park and just give fitness to people in the way that I had been given fitness my whole life as an athlete. That was my mission. And, you know, I had a lot of people doubting my ability to turn this into a career. So I think that pushed me even harder. And I just kept rocking and stayed consistent and went from personal training in person to group fitness training to now scaled our business online to a YouTube channel and a complete fitness media company where we put out a new workout video every day on YouTube. We have a merchandise line, we have a membership community, and it just all centers around making fitness accessible to everyone, just like it was when I very first began this journey. I feel like everyone deserves good quality fitness. So I guess long story long, which is kind of what I tend to do unintentionally. I just have such an incredible passion for fitness and making it available to people everywhere, no matter what, with no barriers.
And you do that. Like, that's the one thing I can say just from knowing you from just a true authentic place. Like, you've been like this ever since I met you, and very community oriented and very jump in with both feet and very like, let's go. You know, if it's fitness and it's like, it's almost like a party, even if it's something for a good cause, like it doesn't matter. Like there's just this, your heart is so big. And what I found fascinating was that it says a lot about what you were doing in school. So going to school for nursing and then working for a nonprofit. Well, that already says a lot about your heart to help people. So when I started to kind of dive a little deeper, because I know you, but then I really started to read more about your path and, you know, career wise and school and all that, those things really spoke to me. And it was like, wow, that even makes it so much more sense, because like to have that passion to want to give fitness and create it where it's accessible for everyone, that has to come from the heart, the intention. And that's what's been so cool to watch.
Yeah, I think it all boils back to, I think it just me being an athlete, there was never any type of privileged access to fitness. Like no one ever needed a certain amount of money in their bank account to be on a sports team. And no one ever had to live in a certain place to be able to go play, you know, sports with their friends at a park. So it feels so natural to me to be able to provide that to people, because I just, you know, with the rise of boutique gyms and gym memberships and personal trainers, I come from a family, and Dustin does as well, where it wasn't that we had enough money to afford all these gym memberships and personal trainers and boutique gym fees. So I feel so passionately about not making that something that stops people. And the community aspect, I think, also just comes from being on a team my whole life and just knowing everyone does better when they're encouraged. Everyone does better when they don't feel like they're alone in the journey. And you push harder when you see people pushing hard alongside you. And then to your point, like, why not make it fun? Why not make it something that everyone enjoys together? Because you're doing something great for your health. So let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate what our bodies can do instead of saying like, well, I'm punishing my body for what I ate, or, you know, I'm trying to get this body fat off. But celebrate what you're able to do and the healthy life that you have. So it does come from just a very genuine place of, I guess, where I come from and who I am as an athlete and a trainer.
It's completely who you are. And that's why I have such an appreciation for what you do And not only just for the Charlotte community, but now for what you're doing really around the world. Where are some of the places that, you know, people are doing your workouts, or what, you know, who has shouted you out or maybe sent you a message and it was like, whoa, really? Like,
I think every day to some different level, I feel that way. Like, are you kidding me? And it can be someone, you know, like a celebrity, and it can be someone like someone down the road that changed their whole life through just diving into fitness. I mean, every day I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I get the privilege to be a part of your journey. That's incredible to me, because when I first moved here, and I'm sure anyone that's in the fitness industry can relate to this, but when I first moved here, I was begging people to let me train them. I was trying to get in. I was working in three different gyms, going to people's houses, showing up in parks, and just hoping people showed up. I mean, I was begging people to let me give fitness to them. And now just to see so many people want this and take advantage of it, I mean, it's a privilege to me. So at this point, we've had people view the workouts in every country in the world. We've had over 100 million workouts done with us on the YouTube channel. And, you know, it sounds cheesy, but every single person means so much to me. It comes truly, truly as a privilege and such a blessing that they chose me as their trainer. They could choose anyone. They could choose not to even care about fitness, but the fact that I get to lead them on this journey and go on this journey with them, I wake up every day feeling like, how is this possible that, you know, this has become what our company is and this has become what I've been blessed to be able to do. And so, I mean, it's not like I don't feel like I have walked into it by luck or anything. I've definitely worked as hard as I possibly can. So it doesn't feel not earned, but it just feels like, how is this a reality? You know, it's just such a blessing to me.
Well, and I want to talk about the hard work, because you have spent, I mean, and I can even remember, like, you would be recording videos, like you and Dustin would be gone, like y'all would just be recording videos like every day. Like, I think it was the first 2 years, and it was like consistently every day you were either somewhere before you started in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I can just remember there was like this zoned in, like your head was down, you guys were on a mission. And I mean, it was a lot of work, and not that it's not work now, but just when you first started, how many videos were you recording? Like, were you recording more than one a day, or was it just, you were just going to different locations?
It was just one a day. And we're still doing one every single day at this point as well. Just, we put up a new workout on YouTube every day at 5 a.m. Eastern time. So we still do it every day. And I think in the beginning, it was such a struggle, because we had no idea what we were doing. We just were trying to figure it out. And we knew with, you know, a lot of stuff that had happened to us when I moved here, and, you know, with, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit later, but we were so, so driven to just make a scalable business and make a legacy that was bigger than just, you know, one person in-person training. And then that time is gone. And so we just were struggling to figure it out. Like, how do we make this work? It took us probably 10 to 12 hours to get ready for a video, film a video, edit a video, upload the video, make the thumbnail. We have since gotten better at our systems and, you know, upgraded our software and upgraded our technology and stuff to make that process a lot faster. But it was a lot of time spent, you know, personal training in the mornings and the evenings, and Dustin was working full time as well. So we had like this window to record, and then we'd fit in editing windows around that. And so it was very much a like head down driven mission, because we knew if we were going to be able to afford having a studio, we still had to have our jobs and rent for our apartment. We still had to have our jobs, because the YouTube channel and the digital fitness wasn't making money for about 8 months. So we still had to kind of buckle down and just get on the same page with each other. Like, this is going to be a really hard grind, but if we do this right and we keep continuing to evaluate what's working, what's not working, what's taking off, what's falling by the wayside, and we focus in on constantly measuring analytics, and we don't get in our head about this being a waste of time, but we just really focus on how's the business growing, what is working, what isn't working, get rid of what's not working, capitalize on what is working, and just, there was no ego about it. There was no entitlement to like, my time is my money. We're serving a bigger purpose here. And we knew it was going to be a grind. And I thank God every day that Dustin believed in the vision as much as I did, because that would have been just impossible to do without each other.
Yeah, y'all have a really amazing and unique team. Your total team, like it's like, it's the best, probably when I think of a team and I think of y'all, like it's just, y'all represent that to me. And because you'll bring him in, even though you're the one that's on the videos and everything, you're always shouting him out and bringing him in. He shows up. And I just think that that's such a, like, that's a really special, special bond and relationship that you have with him.
Yeah, he hates it. He hates camera time. He hates FaceTime. And I try to make him feel a little bit embarrassed sometimes just to like get him to laugh. But, and that's honestly why I started doing in our YouTube videos. If you've ever seen one, at the very end of the workout, I do like this crazy dance where I'm just kind of flailing on camera at the end. Like, and I honestly just started doing that to make him laugh when he was over there editing at night. He would scroll to the end of the video and think the workout was over, and then there's like this crazy dance at the end. So I was like, you know, if it's midnight and, you know, 12:30 and we're working hard on editing this video, I hope this just makes him smile for a couple minutes. And he's just incredible. And I'm the face of the channel, I guess, and of the company, but it's very much a 50-50 split in terms of like what kind of contribution we both bring to the company and the channel in general. And he helped me when, you know, no one else really believed in me, move down here. He said, give it a year, you know, give this fitness thing a try for a solid year. And if it doesn't take off and you don't exhaust all your options and you don't really try, then you've got to go back to nursing school. Like that's the reality of us being able to afford living here. And so I wanted to make him proud. I wanted to prove some people wrong that were doubting me. And he gave me, you know, those constant evaluations of self, I guess. It's like, if you're going to dive in, you have to dive in, and I'll support you if you do. But if you're not really trying and it doesn't really work because you're not really trying, then, you know, you've got to go back to option B. So he's given me that a couple times with scaling the business up to the digital side. Same thing, like, let's give this a year. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't catch traction, if no one besides people that we know finds this channel, you know, it's not worth it. But we're going to do this and set ourselves apart in a way that says, like, this is something of value. Here's an everyday workout. Here's a personal trainer for you every day. And we knew, you know, if we were going to stand out in a very saturated market, we had to do something that was not being done already. So that's when he kind of gave me that second ultimatum that said, you do this, we do it every day. Like, we just have to dive in, because diving in halfway and spending 12 hours of editing daily is wasting my time. It's wasting your time. And we're not getting any help to anyone out there. So he's such an incredible businessman. He's such an artistic power in our business as well. So it's, I could talk about him all day and just like toot his horn all day, but he's so, so talented and such a big part of this.
That's awesome. It's, yeah, I think just the support that you have for your vision and just the fact that you're both tapping into what your gifts are and bringing mm-hmm. them together to create what you have. And you're impacting the world, and it's really cool to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about one of the hardest times in your life. Was when you lost your brother. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that for a lot of people, when you experience that kind of grief and loss, it can stop you in your tracks, and it can almost paralyze you mm-hmm. in your life. And you chose not to allow that to happen, and you chose to push forward, and you chose to keep showing up. So has that played a big role in you really pushing forward with visions and with things that you want to accomplish and do?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a constant daily drive for me that keeps me grounded, and it keeps me focused on the mission, and it keeps me reminded of my why. And for anyone who doesn't know or hasn't heard the story, my brother was 24 years old. He'd just gotten married. He and his wife just had a baby about 11 months before his ATV accident, and he passed away in June of 2017. And, you know, it was just out of nowhere. It was sudden. It was tragic. And he was just kind of like getting his life started. And he passed away after a couple weeks in the hospital, severe brain damage. And it just kind of went downhill from there and never got better for him. So it's an everyday reminder that, you know, you you woke up today. Like, you have a life to live today. And if my brother could be here, or if he would have had the chance to fight for his life, I know he would have. He was one of the strongest people I've ever met. And I always try to just carry the characteristics that I loved most about him into who I am. And it was never a decision of like, do you go on? Do you let this stop you? Do you give in to the pain? It was just like, how could you not? How could you not push forward in honor of him? And how could you not do what would make him proud and be who he was in who you are as a person as you move forward? And he was a Marine. He was obsessed with his family. He showed people he loved them no matter what. He was hilarious. And he was just such a blessing to, you know, we were almost exactly 2 years apart. So I'm just so thankful that I got 24 years with him. And I like to pull everything that he was into who I am. And just at the point when he passed away, I can say for sure I had gotten a little bit into a groove of being content or being complacent with what I was doing. And I had like a fully booked schedule as a personal trainer. So I thought, you know, I'm doing well. This is good. This is what people go for. And then when he passed away, I thought, I'm really not going big enough. I'm not making enough of a difference with my life in this life. I'm not impacting enough people, and we can certainly do more than we are. So Dustin and I had this big kind of reflection moment of, what are you going to make out of your life? And are you going to leave a legacy when you're gone? And when your time is up, can you say that you fully impacted the world in a way that you would be proud of? And Dustin actually kind of references his thoughts to, if today was your last day, can you look back and be proud of everything? And at that point, we could both say we were comfortable. We were just kind of settling and kind of rocking with the groove that we had fallen into. So he definitely gave us the push to think bigger, go bigger, think scalability, think help more people, think leave a legacy, think don't take a day for granted. You know, when you have a day where you feel tired or lazy, you still have this day that not everyone was guaranteed and not everyone was given. So that it just makes it impossible to not be thankful for the gift of life and thankful for all the things that my brother taught me and inspires me to be as a person. And in that way, he inspires me to help more people. So he lives on with us every day in the way that we live and the way that we work and in the drive that we have to just continue pushing and being a bigger part of so many people's journey.
That's awesome. I mean, there's not really anything for me to say to that, because like, I knew that it had played a big role in your life, and I knew that it, you know, had impacted you in such a way that you really kind of thrust you forward. Mm-hmm. But this was one challenge. You had another challenge. Was it 2 years later, 3 years later?
It was it was 1 year after Zach died. So it was 2018 when the shooting was. He passed in 2017. So 2018, it was 2 days after my 28th birthday.
Yeah. And you got shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is when you had just like, I don't even know how far along you were at that point with YouTube, but you guys had the YouTube channel going, you had your studio, and I guess you were leaving work that night, or were leaving the studio when it happened.
Yeah, it was right when we first kind of like decided to kick it in gear with the YouTube channel. I'll say we tried for a little while, just kind of like pilfering, I guess is what you could call it. After my brother passed away in June, we kind of both dove all in, and Dustin left his corporate job as a CPA in October. And so October to September was our first kind of like start in YouTube, and we didn't start going every single day until February. So February to September, we kind of like felt like, okay, the ball is rolling with this YouTube thing. Like, we're really catching traction, and we could see people that we didn't know commenting on the videos. And we thought, this is it. This is huge. You know, we've got our first 100 subscribers, our first 800 subscribers. And I think at that point we had passed over 1,000 in September when we were leaving our studio one night, and it was still a point where Dustin was working as freelance videography and photography. I was still personal training. So we were filming later at night, which wasn't at that time abnormal. We left our studio after filming around 9:30 at night and locked up and turned to go back to our cars. And when we went to turn down the sidewalk to go to our cars, I saw four guys kind of walking up the street like they were going to walk past us. And so we just turned down to go to our cars, and Dustin was in front of me. I was right behind him, had our backpacks on, and I hear someone whisper, "Don't move." And I look back just over my left shoulder, and I didn't know if they were talking to each other. I knew who it was, but I didn't know if they were talking to each other or talking to us. Dustin didn't even hear it. That's how quiet it was. And so it was like they were unsure if they wanted to say it. But I heard that, and I looked over my left shoulder, and I see a gun pointed at my head. And it was about 10 feet away, so it wasn't, you know, I didn't really know what to do. So I just turned back around. And in the moment, you think, oh, I'm going to scream, I'm going to run. You think in like the movies, everyone gets very dramatic very quickly. But I just turned around and I said, "Dustin, they have a gun. Get in the car." And he says, "What?" And he puts his backpack in the car. I run around to the other side to get in the car and just jump in with my backpack on. And as I'm jumping in, I look back over the car and I see the second gun pointed at us. And so there were four guys, two guns. The two guys in the front had guns. And when we sat down into the car, they started shooting. And Dustin managed to get us out of there. We, you know, both of course were screaming. It's completely dark. We're just trying to get away from where they were. Dustin calls the police and they say, you know, just get out of there, get immediately out of the situation that you're in. And I'm hunkered down into the passenger side floorboard, just still screaming and crying. And we pass over a streetlight and I look down at my hands and both of my hands are covered in blood. And I thought, I don't feel anything. So I don't know what's going on. And then I look down at my shoe and my shoe's covered in blood too. So that's when I said to Dustin, you know, I've been shot. So he tells the operator, she tells us to pull over in a parking lot because the ambulance was closer to us than we were to the hospital. So Dustin had to, you know, prop my foot up on the top of the car and put pressure on it. And he's on the phone with the operator and they're telling him how to wrap my foot while it's just bleeding out in the McDonald's parking lot. And they finally got there. And luckily it didn't actually start hurting until we got to the hospital. And that was something I'd heard people talk about adrenaline before and how it can really, you know, take the pain away from things. But I guess I had so much adrenaline where I was in total flight mode that I didn't feel anything until we got to the hospital, and then had to have emergency surgery because it had nicked the branch of an artery, the bullet did. So I had to have emergency surgery to go and cauterize the artery. And yeah, it was just, I woke up from surgery thinking like, what do I do now? Like, am I going to be able to walk? Is this the end of a fitness career for me? Do I move into a fitness career with a disability if I can't move my foot? Like, all those things start to go through your head. Like, if I can't walk, who am I and what do I do now? And what does Dustin do? He just dove all the way into this with me, and this is our business. And now maybe I don't have a foot that works anymore. But luckily I was able to regain feeling in most of my foot. It works now. It's a little bit less balanced because I don't feel all of it, but you know, that's one of those things that's, again, you have a life still, you're still alive. And to sit around and complain about something that you have to do in a day after being through something like that, where your life, your fiance's life could have just been quickly taken. Your story could have quickly been over. It's one of those things where, how do you not move forward in total gratitude and total ambitious, grateful, positive, full of heart mindset of just, things like this aren't going to stop a mission when this mission means so much to you. So it just, I tell the Sydney Squad a lot, every day that I can wake up and put 2 feet on the ground is a blessing, because for so long I couldn't put both feet on the ground and it drove me nuts. But it's just, again, like, how do you not move forward in total gratitude and not willing to take any days for granted, but give every day everything and in that be able to help more people. Like, there, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, the stuff you faced is like crazy. And the amount of time that was between both of these like life altering challenges that could have, again, stopped you. And instead, you like, girl, you just freaking use that to springboard forward.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest, to me, like, example of inner strength and determination and passion for purpose.
Thank you.
And yeah, such an example of that. And, you know, you are an inspiration in so many ways. And just hearing both of those stories alone, like, it's It's incredible that you show up every day consistently. I've never seen you not smile. Anybody's ever seen Sydney? There's always a smile from ear to ear. There is a grin. Yes. And there's this sense of gratitude. And that is what carries us all through, is finding the things to be grateful for and to be thankful for. And I know for me too, it's like, that's been what has kept me going. And when you talk to other people, and I've had other conversations with other women on the podcast, and it's the same thing. It's that centeredness. It's that finding what you are grateful for, in the middle of, you know, life's curveballs or things that get thrown your way that can throw you off course. But, you know, this is just, it's just an incredible story in the way that you're, I mean, you kind of take us there. Cause you, I mean, I literally feel like I'm like with you throughout this whole thing, because you remember every single thing that happened.
Yeah.
Do you have nightmares from that? Or have you been able to kind of like push that off to the side? Or how has that affected you from a mental, you know, mental health and sleep and all of that? How has that had affected you?
Yeah, I still have a lot of nightmares. It's not as many actual shooting nightmares, but it's always like I'm caught off guard nightmares. Like I didn't expect this to happen nightmare, or, you know, someone passes away in my dream or something like that. But I don't go outside at night by myself anymore. And same with Dustin, he doesn't go outside by himself at night anymore. And we always kind of go and stand back to back when we're taking the dog outside, just to be fully aware of our surroundings. And I mean, that does kind of have an unfortunate side effect, I guess. And I think it's just being aware of your surroundings is where I'm at now. Like I'm always a little skeptical. I don't mentally have like the calm joy of like going for a run anymore, because I always am just looking around like who's near me, who's beside me, what's going to happen. And, you know, I wish that wasn't a part of my story, but I think it shaped me in a different way. And you can take things like this, and anyone that's gone through something, like you can attest to anyone that's gone through something that's tough in life, it can either just kind of stop you, or it can just shape you into who you want to be moving forward. And so those are some negative side effects. I feel like and at nighttime, I don't really feel confident anymore. I don't feel confident going in the city by myself anymore. And just unfortunately being skeptical of everyone that comes near me in the nighttime or anything like that. So that's definitely a downfall, but you know, I'll take that over not having a life any day.
Yeah. And like you said, it's those things that you go through that shape you, mm-hmm. and you may end up helping somebody else by the experience right. that you went through. And because you have such a heart to reach other people, I feel like too, you know, the experiences that you've gone through has even made you more relatable, and that you're able to touch more people, because there are a lot of people that have faced some pretty hard things.
Definitely.
And yeah. And so to see you kind of come through it, and not just come through it, you know, press through, like push through regardless of what you face. How long did you have to wear a boot afterwards? Cause didn't you still continue to film as well?
No, I stopped. I couldn't put weight on my foot for about 4 months. And the surgery kind of went bad, I guess, when the doctors were doing the emergency surgery. I guess they left a bunch of bone wax in my foot and then closed it up. And every time I went back for a checkup, it had just opened back up and pushed that bone wax back out of my foot. So it was a very terrible recovery. I guess the emergency room doctors were not the best equipped to do that surgery. I'm not sure, but you know, regardless, it was a bad recovery, and my foot kept pushing, literally rejecting bone wax, like, you know, candle wax in the shape of like a marble. I would get that probably once a week for about a year. It would just, it's like your body is so smart, but it just knew this foreign substance is not supposed to be in here. And so the bullet hole would close up, and then I would be like, yes, it's done. It's finally fully healed. And then you see just peeking piece of bone wax at the surface, and my foot just opened right back up, like you're opening doors, and like, we know this isn't supposed to be in here, so here you go. And I was tweezing bone wax out of my foot for probably a year and couldn't put weight on it for about 4 months. But like you said, it made me more relatable. I had never faced an injury up to that point. Somehow, just being, you know, a Division I college athlete, I had managed to stay my whole life injury free. And so at that point, I kind of made that conscious decision. I'm going to go with everyone on this recovery journey. I'm going to show people, like, here's me, totally beginner, totally new, totally unbalanced. I lost pretty much all the muscle in this leg. So I'm not the athlete that I was. I'm not the confident trainer that I was. But if you're coming back from an injury or you're just starting new in fitness, I feel you. I could not relate to people in that way before this accident. And always said, like, you know, have patience. It's fine. You'll come back when you're ready. But that's hard. And I didn't realize how hard it was until you're just forced to sit on your butt for 4 months and or crutch everywhere or drive a scooter everywhere. You know, it's hard. And so I can relate to people that start working out with me now on a whole different level, just appreciating anyone who's a beginner. That mental struggle to just get started, so hard. Anyone coming back from an injury, you're so in your head. It is so hard. And that helped me be able to talk people through the workouts a lot better now. Even as I've recovered pretty much fully, I still think back to that person that I was on the first workout back, where I was completely vulnerable. And I know there are people joining me every single day in that position.
It is something when you experience, like, I was similar to that way when people would talk about their hormones. And I'm like, the hormones are not affecting you. Like, you just got it. You will be fine. Like, it's okay. You know? And now, like, since I've had, that's been my personal struggle over the past 10 years. It has made me more relatable to people, and it has helped me have empathy and understand that yes, our bodies, like, if something happens, it is an adjustment, and it might, you might not be what you were, right. But that's okay. You can start where you are. So yeah. I love that. I love the message that you bring with that. And I love that you reach people at all levels.
Yeah.
So where can they find you?
So you could find me pretty much anywhere on social media.
I know. Anywhere on social. I don't even know why I'm asking. Yeah.
All the things. Our YouTube channel is just called Sydney Cummings. And we put up a new workout every single day at 5 a.m. Eastern with a stretch video on Sunday. So there is a recovery day. But every day you get a workout programmed with a trainer. So it's not just a random workout. It's not just like, yeah, figure it out. Like, a program every single month out, or every 8-week, 12-week program. So if you subscribe, you just follow along. And it's like, I'm showing up to train you in your living room. Facebook is Sydney Cummings or Sydney Cummings Fitness. Instagram, Sydney Cummings _. And our company website is royalchange.fit, where all of our merchandise and the Sydney Squad membership community is. And a lot to come on that front as well. We're about to start a new custom cut and sew fitness apparel line. So there's just so many things that I'm really excited for to continue to bring to people, and just so grateful to spend this time with you, Steele, and having gotten to know you. It's just so powerful being in a community of women that really believe in each other, and they're not down to tear each other down. They're just like, great job, you know, keep going, keep pushing, keep striving for more. And I think, you know, even if we don't see each other every day, there are people around you who are cheering you on and clapping for you every step of the way. So I'm so grateful to have been able to spend this time with you today and have gotten to know you when I moved here. It's just really nice to have a genuine person who's cheering you on.
Oh, well, I feel very much that way about you since I met you. We've had some opportunities to do some incredible things together just for our local community. We've had some boot camps where we did fundraisers, and just that so authentic and from the heart. And you're right. Like, that's what I'm passionate about, are women and fitness and bringing that together and seeing us. Like, I love everything you just said, because